Hello, this is Scooter. Thanks for joining me here for my very first episode at Fish Toes. I'd like to spend the day and take a little time to talk about rules and regulations. For you beginners, it's probably a little bit important to learn about some of these things, and for everybody else, you probably know a lot about them, especially because they're different everywhere you go. What's the big deal with rules and regulations? Well, obviously, everywhere you go, state to state, I'm not exactly sure how it works at the ocean, but you basically need a license from that state and possibly some permits. For example, in Pennsylvania, where I'm from, and in Maryland, I know you need to get a trout stamp, not only your regular fishing license, but a trout stamp that allows you to keep trout or fish in trout-approved waters. Some have some different regulations on them than that, but that's kind of the gist of it. In PA, if you want to fish in Lake Erie, you need a Lake Erie permit. So there's things you need to watch out for and check it out. Generally, your local government website is going to handle everything you need to know. They're pretty clear on that kind of stuff, you know, what you need to do for where. But it's important to follow those kinds of things. You know, you hate to be out. You can get fined. You can lose your license for a few years if you're out. So there's all kinds of penalties that aren't great. A lot of people hate the fact that there needs to be rules and regulations, but they are very important. It helps protect the fishery. It makes it, you know, that everybody can enjoy fishing or other activities as well. So it's not just, you know, a government way of trying to get your money and things like that. And while they do take your money, it typically goes to pretty good institutions or projects, things of that nature that help to, you know, bring fishing along. For example, you know, they'll use some of the money that goes to buying your license for trout stocking, so that every spring or whenever they may stock in your area, you know, they bring in hundreds of fish and put in creeks and streams and ponds, lakes, different things like that. That money's got to come from somewhere. That you know, and this is some of the stuff that comes from that. There's also a lot of other projects that they work on as far as, biological, I guess you could call it, or ecological things, you know, testing waters, making sure that fish have a good habitat to survive in, and so on. So there are a lot of reasons why these things are good. You know, it does suck that you got to buy a license every year, but you know, hey, that's the way it goes. You know, and typically they're not very expensive. I think in PA it's around $30. Maryland's around the same. Out of state typically will cost you more, but not a lot more. The stamps are usually, or extra permits are usually anywhere from $5 to $10 a piece, so they're not bad. Usually when you do fill out and get your license and stuff like that, they'll have some other basically donations, and they might be in the form of, like, you know, badges or stamps you get on your license that you know, are basically, they're donations to help certain foundations out to increase, you know, fish populations, do tests, cleanups, different things like that. So don't always just write them off. Take a look and see what they're for. And if it's something you agree with, they're usually pretty cheap, $5, $10, something like that. So it's pretty nice. It's a good system. If you've got the extra couple bucks to throw into it and it's something that you believe can make a difference, you know, go for it. But don't always just write them off. Take a look and see what they're for. And, you know, like I said, if you agree with them, I think they're good things to kind of give back a little bit to a hobby or a sport that you really enjoy. The rules end of it is also very important, like when you can fish, how many fish you can keep, all this kind of stuff, because that's what helps to carry the fishing on to future generations. Not fishing during spawning seasons, for example. You know, because when, you know, largemouth bass in specific is one I know, when they're in spawning season, you know, the female, actually I'm not even sure which one, the male or female will basically create a nest by, you know, swiping their tail along the bottom. They'll create a pit in typically like sandy
type soil that's under the water, or very fine gravel, you can see these. You can really see when the bluegills do it. They do something similar because they'll have a pile of them all in one place. But in any event, so after that's all done, the females lay their eggs, the males come in and do their thing, and then typically the females will go back into a little bit deeper water to recover. They'll also feed at this point, so they are, you can catch them, but they're in a weakened state, so it's not a great idea to catch them then. But more importantly, the males become really aggressive and guard the nest. And you throw a lure out or something out and you catch a male off a nest, guess what? Nobody's guarding that nest now. And so now you've got a problem. Now, typically you throw a male back in the water, they will go back and cover the nest again. But you hook him bad and he ends up injured or whatever may happen. Now you've got a whole clutch of fish eggs that may not hatch. Other predators can come in and scoop them up. So that can be very, very detrimental to the fish population in a given area. So when they say, you know, don't fish on beds, or, you know, don't keep these kind of fish, or really don't fish for these kind of fish at certain times of the year, typically the late spring, early to late spring, somewhere around there. A lot depends on water temperatures and so forth. But so those, you know, rules like that are there for a reason. They help keep the fish ecology moving along properly, hopefully growing. There's nothing better than finding a place that's not heavily fished or a place that's fished very responsibly. They typically tend to take off. It's not hard to find a lake or a body of water that gets overfished, and whether people are keeping them or not, it still takes its toll on the fish population. So being responsible is very important. And following the rules and guidelines they have, not going into an area where they just stock trout and you keep 30 fish, or someone keeps 30 fish, and then everybody else shows up and there's no longer fish there, at least not many, for them to catch and maybe take home, to eat or whichever. But either way, you end up with a lot of people that aren't catching fish and probably stop fishing. Stop buying licenses, money quits going in, you get the picture. While the rules and regulations sometimes are a pain in the butt, they're there for a good reason. Maybe some are a little crazy, I won't argue that point, but it is important to follow the rules because they are there for a reason. That's probably about all I have in rules and regulations. I don't want to go over that stuff a whole lot. If you do have some questions or input on it or things I've gotten wrong, certainly send me a message, shoot me an email, whatever makes good sense. Email is scooterfishtoes@gmail.com. At least for now, hoping to set up a website and probably get something on that end eventually. But for now, that one will work. So I kind of want to start with beginning fishing. Makes sense. I'm at the beginning of the podcast. So let's kind of talk about that. If you are somebody that's either relatively new to fishing or just thinking about getting into fishing, you probably don't want to dive in head first. But maybe you do. That's entirely your choice. But you can get into fishing for relatively cheap. You purchase your license. You can get a fishing rod typically at a local sporting goods store that's a combo rod, which is going to be a rod, reel, line, some basic terminal tackle, sinkers, hooks, bobbers, baits pretty cheap. I mean, between license, rod, reel, everything else that you'd really need to get started, and I will kind of go over a startup list here soon, but you're going to be less than $100. In fact, if you start looking around at some yard sales or talk to some of your friends, they've probably got some old fishing rods laying around. And that's all it takes to get started. And I got to tell you, once you catch a couple of fish, and if you can get one good size fish, you'll be hooked on it. And I try not to pun that one, but you know, there it is. Getting started can be daunting, but it's not. It doesn't need to be. It is relatively simple. My biggest thing with fishing or learning how to fish is understanding how to take care of the fish.
What you don't want to do is get out there and you throw a line in the water and you catch a fish and it comes in and now you're holding this thing in your hands and you have no idea what to do with it. How do you get the hook out? What's the best way to get it back into the water? What's the best way to take care of it so you can put it back or on a stringer so you can eat it later? But either way, you want to take care of that without hurting yourself, someone else, or the fish as much as possible. So that's kind of the basics on getting started. And then my next podcast is really going to dive into where I feel is a good place to start, what kind of water to look for, etc., what kind of gear to sort of get you started, and so forth. So on my first podcast, I want to keep it sort of short without going too crazy, but I do want to get into one other aspect about fishing, and that's a little bit about respect and responsibility. When you get out and go fishing, the number one, to me anyways, the number one priority is safety. You want to make sure you're not hurting yourself or others, and you're not hurting the fish. And so you want to be careful. You know, it's not difficult. It's not a dangerous hobby or sport by any means. But, you know, I've seen people get, you know, hooks through them, or a hook in an eye, a hook through an ear. It is not fun. I've been pretty fortunate. While I've gotten plenty of hooks into my hand, I've never had them bad enough that I've had to like push them through and cut the barb off and pull them out or require stitches or anything. But I've seen some pretty yucky ones, and I don't want to be any part of that. you know, safety and being responsible is a big part, but not only for yourself. There's a lot of other people out there fishing. Always be aware of when you're casting, you know, where you're swinging back to, what's behind you, you know, where are your hooks going. If you're fishing, you know, on a lake or a stream, you know, beside it, and you're kind of there by yourself or with a friend, that's not too difficult. If you're along a heavily traveled path, yeah, you know, maybe a little bit. Boats can be pretty tough. They can be tight quarters, and, you know, if you don't watch where you're swinging, it can be tough. So, you know, safety is a big thing. The second part of that's about safety of the environment and the fish. I'm a firm believer. I do a lot of backpacking, hiking, camping, and stuff as well, and it's pack in, pack out. If it's garbage you take in with you, it's garbage you take out with you. You'll learn pretty quick. I always keep a plastic bag, usually in my back pocket, when I go out fishing, because I always find trash. I find string, I find, you know, fishing line, hooks, lures, and then just, you know, a general assortment of food wrappers and cups and cans, and you know, that's, nobody wants to go out to that kind of stuff. So it's not that difficult. If you pack it in, pack it out. You know, it's protecting the waters and environment for everybody else in the future. And it's keeping it looking pretty good for us right now too. So, you do want to watch that kind of stuff. One thing I'll touch on in a later episode is going to be too, is, transporting dangerous bacteria or other types of little critters. You know, in a lot of states, they've outlawed felt bottom waders. Why? Because when you walk through a stream, the parasites and different bacteria from that stream will absorb up into that felt. Then you go to another stream, and whatever's in your boots is now going into that stream, and it could be detrimental. A lot of places require rubber bottoms and stuff like that. So being a little bit clean about what you're doing and cautious, it's nothing that requires a lot of thought or action. It just requires a little bit of thought, you know, and just sort of be prepared and be conscientious of what you're doing. On to the fish part of the safety thing. You know, every type of fish that you catch has different defense mechanisms. You catch a bluegill, which is pretty common, and when you try and handle a bluegill, their back fin, right down the middle of the back, the dorsal fin, I guess dorsal fin, I'm horrible with biology, but in any event, it's got sharp spines in it. Like, if you lift it up, you'll see there's bony ridges that stick up inside that fin, and they are very sharp on the end. If he wiggles around and hits you with one of those, you'll know it pretty quick. So knowing how to handle a fish makes it really easy. All you got to do is kind of take the fish, slide your hand from the nose, watch for the hook,
slide your hand back from the nose and compress the fish so you're holding the fins down. So when you hold the fish in your hand, a little bit like a baseball, you're compressing those fins down. Now you can hold the fish comfortably. The fish isn't going to flop around as much, so it's a little bit safer for everybody. And then you can work to take the hook out. One thing is always put your hand in the water first, get your hand wet before you handle the fish. Some fish like trout have a really thick slimy coat on them. That coat protects them from a lot of things in the water, bacteria, parasites, and so forth. And if your hands are dry, that slime will actually stick to you, and you don't really want that either. But you'll actually kind of pull some of that slime coat off. Then you release them back into the water, and it can open them up to a whole host of different kinds of infections and stuff. And you know, the fish can end up dying, or at least it's got a pretty rough spring or summer going on for it. So I do want to kind of go over different types of fish and sort of their self-defense mechanisms and things you want to watch out for when you're handling fish. None of them are difficult to handle. I don't want to scare anybody away and be like, oh, these fish are dangerous, you got to watch out for them. Anything, at least in the freshwater fishing I do, is not dangerous to that kind of level. You can get to some ocean fish and weird things that are pretty crazy. There are some freshwater fish like muskie, walleye that have some pretty good teeth on them, so you do want to watch those. But if you're cautious, there's nothing that you ever need to worry about when fishing. The biggest thing with fish, though, is once you've caught them, they've just been through a pretty stressful ordeal. You want to get them back into the water as quickly as possible. Now, if you're going to keep them, put them in a creel, put them on a stringer, that's another story. But when you've caught a fish, it's great to net them. A lot of people like to swing them up on shore. That's okay. I'm not telling anybody not to do that. I try and avoid that, especially with trout, because they're a pretty delicate fish. Aside from that, it's really not a big deal to kind of lift your rod up in the air and sort of swing the fish onto the bank. It's kind of like called a swing landing, but different people call it different things. But ideally, you want to get that fish back into the water as quickly as possible. You kind of want to get your fish, hold it in the proper way, get a pair of forceps or needle nose pliers. I love forceps. I'll go over them when I kind of do the tackle portion later. Use them to take the hook out as easy as possible. There's some different techniques to that really help out, that you can get the fish back in the water as quickly as possible. Now, of course, after you take the hook out, there's probably a reasonable chance you're going to want to get a picture with the fish. That's fine. An extra 20, 30 seconds isn't causing anything major. It's always great to fish with a buddy. I used to always fish with my buddy Chris. We still get out a lot. You're going to hear me talk about him an awful lot probably in these podcasts. Him and I have been fishing together since we were 13. You get your picture taken, and then you gently release the fish back in the water. I know a lot of people will chuck them out there. Giving them a little toss out there is okay. Sometimes you want to get them a little bit away from the shore. That's okay, but we're not football throwing these guys back in the water. The impact is, imagine if you went 10 feet up in the air and belly flopped onto the water. It's not exactly a pretty thing to do. You want to be respectful with the fish. You just put them through a pretty good ordeal. You try and be mindful of that. You're looking forward to putting that fish back in the water that you can catch them again another day when they're bigger, or somebody else will catch them. So there's a lot of stuff with that. But I think I've made the point. You just want to be cautious, but it's nothing that you need to be worried about. It all becomes second nature very quickly. But you want to have a little bit of an education about the fish. Probably the hardest part, to know what kind of fish you have and what you need to watch out for when you're handling that fish. That really, though, revolves more around your own personal safety. So I'm going to probably leave episode one here. I think this is a pretty good start. It's just kind of getting us involved in what to look out for, rules, regulations, and a little bit about the safety. I always keep I have a very small first aid kit, a couple Band-Aids, some antibiotic, a little bit of medical tape and so forth. It fits right in a small pocket in my fishing tackle pack. You never know when you may need it. Hopefully you never do, but it's better to have it not need it than need it and not have it. Again, get out there, be safe.
with what you're fishing, and then you can just enjoy it all the more. No traumatic experiences that might scare you away from it. So again, you know, thanks for joining me here. And episode 2, I really want to start with beginner fishermen, which I'm going to probably do that very soon. And I'm probably going to put out a whole lot of podcasts in the next week or so. And then I'll probably start slowing down to maybe one a week, give or take, once I sort of see how I'm getting any interaction with it and so forth. So I hope you all have a great day. And I hope you get some tight lines if you get out there. And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.